And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business impacting our personal lives. Each of my guests is discussing an aspect of business and its effect on our personal life. My next guest is the founder of Joya Tech Solutions, an internet consulting company. She'll explain the dangers present in the internet and how to navigate anonymously from her book, The Internet Plan. And if you have questions or if you just want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Mary Camacho has been helping people navigate through the complexities of the internet since the mid-1990s. Her background is a business owner, experience in finance and operation, and her education includes a master's degree in media and culture from the University of Chicago. Mary has expertise to work in all aspects of the business and direct them on the best ways to create their professional online appearance. Mary founded the current company Joytech Solutions back in 2004. Joytech and the Internet Plan work to bridge the gaps that small organizations experience with using the internet technologies fully and completely. They provide the know-how and the support and the products to have the customers fully execute upon their internet business plans. Mary currently lives in Denver, Colorado with her partner Matthew and their two dogs, but joining us from the Tennessee area, how are you today, Mary?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks so much for having me on the show today, Bill.
Well, thank you for being on the show. I love to have industry experts such as yourself come on. And let's start with Google. More than a billion people use Google each and every month. And Google gathers a lot of data on those people that are using it. You assert that Google has actually been spying on us, collecting information on our habits and our interests. So my first question is, what sort of information is Google collecting and how do they use it?
Well, Google collects so much data from everybody who uses the internet, because almost everybody is using Google to search for things. And not only that, I mean, I don't know what the numbers are right now, I'm sure it changes, but just millions of people have Google accounts as well. And so there is a difference between the amount of information that they collect depending on whether or not you use a lot of Google products or if you're just using their search engine. But basically, every time you go online and you do a search, that information, what you've searched, that history, and what you've done with that search is something that people are keeping track of. Now, I'm not saying there's a bunch of eyeballs looking at it every single day. There aren't a whole lot of people that care particularly that you went and searched for some golf clubs, right? Over time, what it's basically doing is it's informing through the technology and through the algorithms that they've built what they think you then want to see in the future. And that's kind of what I'm talking about in terms of when I say Google spying on you. They're collecting a lot of data, what kind of computer you use, where you are, what kind of browsers, what kind of software, what sorts of things you're interested in. And then from that information, they think that they know how to present information back to you. And that's where it can get a little dicey.
All right. Now, there are two parts of that. There is the gathering of the data and aggregating it. So Google's out there. They do a billion searches a month. It's probably interesting for them to aggregate the data and not look at me and see if I was looking at golf clubs as an individual, but asking the broader question, how many people looked for golf clubs last month?
Well, absolutely.
That may be valuable and in fact, may be important to companies that sell golf clubs and things like that. That is a very different situation, Mary, though, from the predictive side of things, where because I have looked at golf clubs, now Google thinks that I want to look at golf balls, too. And while that is a natural, you know, progression to make, some of the other connections that Google makes probably aren't as obvious as that. So talk to us about the two sides of this coin. The predictive side, which is me as an individual, I'm worried about my individual rights versus the aggregating side, because as a business owner, I kind of want to know who's listening to my program and how that aggregates each month.
Absolutely. And the information is, it isn't things that we're, I mean, it's not like they're taking information away from us that we're not giving to them, right? We're using the tools that they have. And by the way, it's not just Google that does this. It's all the search engines, not all of them, but most of the search engines are tracking this history. And a lot of the other large internet retailers are searching this. I mean, it's no different than Amazon collecting what you've purchased and what you've searched for on their site and then using that to help direct what you may want to be interested in buying in the future, right? It's similar. But as you say, there's multiple aspects and angles from which you can look at this. From an individual's perspective, I want to point out a couple of the concerns that it brings.
Sure.
If I say I have looked up a lot of information on travel industry, you know, travel plans and this, that, and the other, which I've done because I like to travel and I've gone all over the world, and so I do a lot of searches on hotels and various travel programs and things like that. So when I search about something happening in another part of the world, a lot of times what will be presented to me may be information on packages to go visit that part of the world. Whereas, for example, if we're say we're talking about somewhere, say Egypt, for example, I might do a search, and what I'll get back is information on how to visit there and all the important things to see while I'm there. If you did a search, you might get news about what's happening in that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And in and of itself, that's not problematic, right? Because it makes sense. It's using that information from my past history to give it to me. But where it becomes a little bit more concerning is that, well, if I'm always reading, say, the LA Times to get my news, and you're always reading, Washington Post,
okay,
Wall Street Journal, then it's going to know that that's what it should provide for me in terms of the news sources. A lot of people will say, well, that's great, it's making it easier for me. But I question it, because what if those alternate perspectives are really what we should be seeing? It really starts to bubble in what we get to see, and we don't even realize it's happening. And that last part, that's what's important.
All right,
people don't know what's happening.
All right, so it limits our choices. It doesn't open us up to contrarian points of view or opposite points of view that may make sense. I get that. But, again, most people who are using the Internet are using it because they want that particular type of information. And just by using their searches, they've closed off the other alternative options.
Well, but I think it takes it a step further, right, in terms of cutting that off. And I don't think it's problematic inherently. I think it's problematic when we don't know that it's happening because we don't know that maybe we should search for some other things.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. My guest is Mary Camacho. She's the author of the book, The Internet Plan, a workbook for creating your online strategy. So, all right, that's one of the drawbacks. You said that there are others. What other drawbacks might there be?
Well, when you think about it, ultimately, this information is belonging to people. We are telling everybody in the world, every marketing company in the world, how to best get to us. And while that's a great thing for companies who are out there, it can be a little bit annoying for us as consumers when, because I went and searched for a particular thing one day, say I went and searched for some, I'm in the tech industry, right? I do a lot of work with technology. I go search for an online virtual server. For the next week and a half, I'm presented with every ad in the world on virtual servers. And after a while, it becomes somewhat obnoxious and annoying. And not only that, they start coming in as spam through various forms. And those are the areas where I think as consumers we're sort of losing track. We don't realize that we're giving away our eyeball time, basically, to all of these companies who are then trying to market to us.
And our private information as well.
That's
a lot
right.
of that is being put out into the public sphere, and it becomes public domain at that
exactly.
point. So, Mary, you've stated what the problem is. So give us some ideas of how we can browse more anonymously, protect our personal information, and yet still find out what we need to find out on the Internet.
You bet. Well, there's a couple of choices people have if they really want to look at things and not have everything collected. Google actually has an option as well. So while they're causing some of the issue, they're also trying to solve the issue for certain people if you want to use it. It's just not very well known. So if you're using the Google Chrome browser or a Safari browser,
yes,
there is an option that you can use that's called Incognito Window. And it's in the settings, and you can go find it pretty simply. And if you open an incognito window, nothing that you search for inside of that is going to be tracked. They're not putting a cookie on it. They're not following that information. It's not going to be tracked, and it's not going to impact anything in the future.
All right, so that's a good thing, especially if you're out there looking for porn, you might want to do that. But all right, so the incognito window in Chrome and in Safari, I think that that's neat. Are there any other tips? Do you recommend opening up different accounts for different purposes, whether it be at email accounts or even setting up preferences on your browser for specific searches?
Well, I certainly would say that be aware that when you're logged in as a user to any of your accounts, whether it's Yahoo, Google, or anybody else, when you're logged in, I wouldn't do your searches that way. I would do your searches not logged in, because that what you're doing is you're allowing them to connect the history, not just of the computer and the browser, but also specifically your personal information to everything that you're doing. So not being logged in at all is a first good step.
Okay.
Another good option is use a variety of search engines. Don't use the same search. So don't always go to Google. There are other options. One in particular I definitely recommend if you're trying to keep your information a little bit more private is called DuckDuckGo. It's a newer search engine. It's not real well known, but it's actually quite good. It brings up information. The algorithm that it uses to deliver information is very, very different than Google's. So it tends to be a great search engine if you're doing searches for business products or if you're doing searches for information and news. It values different things.
Is that duckduckgo.com?
That's correct, duckduckgo.com.
Okay.
Strange name, but a lot of companies that are successful on the Internet have strange names, which is a good business tip for people who are thinking of starting businesses. Strange names work to be found. So definitely those options are ways to go if you want to keep things a little bit more incognito.
All right.
And private.
My guest is Mary Camacho, and we're talking about the Internet plan and looking at the Internet. Now, something in your book struck me as very interesting, and I want to drill down on this if we can, because you say in the book how and why it's getting more expensive to have website development and good search engine optimization. So in a couple of words, why is it getting more expensive and what can we do to minimize the expense?
Well, the search engine side of it is just getting harder because really with the way that the search engines work, specifically with the way that Google works, for business, there is an advantage to having been in business a long time. There is an advantage to being a large business that has a lot of resources, because what they're doing is it's not necessarily what you put on there and how many people are looking for it. That's just one small part of search engine optimization. The biggest part about why some companies show up at the top and other companies show up at the bottom is because of the number of links to them. And it takes a lot of work to have good links that are directed towards your business, because Google knows when it's a sham. They've been able to, all these directories that are not really directories that don't have information on them that small businesses try to use to get their links on, they don't work as well today as they used to. So all the different tools that have been built up over the last, 8 years plus online are working less effectively for businesses, and you're having to really go about creating more high-quality content and getting it out there, and that takes time and it takes money. So that's one of the reasons it's getting more expensive. On the other hand, or another piece of why building your online web presence these days is getting more expensive, is actually less about what's happening online and more about the economics of software development in general. A lot more of software development has become web-based, which means that those folks who used to be web designers, they're now getting paid the big bucks by large corporations to be software developers on staff. And that means the market's actually just getting tighter.
I see.
In terms of who can do the work.
All right. Well, my guest has been Mary Camacho. Mary, if people are intrigued by what they hear, they want to learn more about you, learn more about your services, learn more about your book, The Internet Plan, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, as you might imagine, I have a website. And it's called theinternetplan.com, and that's the easiest place to start. You can also find my technology company, joyatechsolutions.com, online. And, of course, you can find the book, The Internet Plan Workbook, on Amazon as well.
And also at our own board, Bank of Books here in Ventura County. Two locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street. Mary, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.